Is that better? Yeah, yeah, there we go. Excellent. Thanks for your welcome for Rosie and I. Great to be with you as a married couple. It's great to be back. So today, the title of the talk that I'm going to give you is Prayer, Connecting with God in a Distracting World. And I think that resonates with us at certain times, and it definitely resonates with Rosie and I. And when I first shared some thoughts about this at our church back in January, looking ahead to the year and everything like that, it was something that was very fresh in our mind, and something that we were sort of really passionate about, and we still are. And yet, in that time, you look back and you sort of think, "Well, did what we looked at about prayer, did what we think about and pray about and study, how much impact has that had on our life in the last 3 months?" So I come to you this morning bringing the same sort of message that I spoke to church back in January, with I guess just recognizing that we're weak and that we don't always get there. We don't always reach that point that we want to reach in terms of praying, in terms of our prayer life and that sort of thing. But I'm going to pray now, and I trust that what we share with you this morning will be something that really impacts you as well. Father God, thank you that we can meet together. Thank you for the people that are here, the warmth and the welcome that we can receive as we come from somewhere else and are welcomed so warmly. Thank you that these people here are brothers and sisters in you. Thank you that we can share you as our Father, that we can know you as our Father. Lord, I ask that this morning, as we look at your word and as I speak and as we share thoughts, that you would really speak to us, Father, that your spirit would be working in each of our lives to communicate something of what you would want to say to each one of us. God, we recognize it might be different to each individual here, what they need to hear and what you choose to speak and what you choose to direct into their hearts. But I pray that each of our hearts will be soft and ready to accept what it is that you say to us, Lord, that we would be receptive to your word, to your voice. And that we'll go out from this place at the end of today, different to when we first came in, or with a different motivation, or with a different attitude, or that we'd get encouraged and challenged to continue our life and our relationship with you and our walk with you. Father, thank you that it is all about having a relationship with you, knowing you. And that's why we meet here this morning. That's why we come and worship you. Amen. Okay, it's great that we could come on a Sunday morning when we had communion as well. That was really good to be able to share with you on that, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit later on. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn to Colossians 3? Do I just press the arrow button to get it on? Okay. So prayer, connecting with God in a distracting world. That big number again. How big is your faith? An amazing verse, and yet difficult to grasp. Okay, prayer, Colossians. And that's the verse we're going to be focusing on later. But I'd like us to flick through Colossians 3. If you are following it in your Bibles, I will be jumping a few verses here and there, because I just, by reading Colossians 3, I just want to give us a flow of what Paul's saying to the church that he's writing to in Colossae. So from verse 1, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." And then it goes on to say, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature." And he goes through all those things there from verse 5 onwards. And then in verse 12, it says some more sort of active, positive things to do. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then in the next few verses, there's a subheading that talks about instructions for Christian households. Things like, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. All these sort of things. Then it goes on to the verse, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for me, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. And it's with that chapter there that we then lead on to the verses that I want to, or the verse that I particularly want to focus on today. So many practical things in that chapter that we've just looked at that you could spend ages looking at and just being encouraged and challenged about. And maybe sometimes we focus on some of these things, ignoring bits that we don't like, focusing on bits that are particularly resonant with us or things that really apply to us. But in that sort of series of instructions that Paul's giving to the church, he then says this in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then just quickly, jumping to verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So there are so many things we could pick out from that passage that we could focus on. And maybe some of those things God is already working in your heart, that you should go away and read that again in your own time and ask God to speak to you from that passage. But I just want us to focus on the verse that says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, as it says on the board there. And I think when we read those words, it can sort of just make us think a number of different things. And I want you to have a look at some of these thoughts. I'll just put them all on the board. Have a read through. See if any of them particularly apply to you as you think about prayer. I wouldn't be surprised if all of us at some point have thought all of those things. Maybe for some of us, it's the cynicism that we struggle with. What's the point? God will do what he wants anyway. Or even the question, is there actually a God? I'm sure we struggle with that at some point. Maybe it's the whole idea of actually, well, prayer seems too passive. You just sit there or kneel there or pray. We need to be out there doing something. The practical aspects of it. I haven't time. Too many distractions. Have you seen my diary? I think all these things can apply to us at some point when we think about devoting ourselves to prayer. But I think what I want to focus on this morning is to have a look at some of these thoughts that might actually hinder us praying. Deal with those and then have a look at why we should actually pray at the end of it. What is the point and why do we do it? So, I don't feel the need. I'm doing okay. I don't want God interfering. Maybe that can be our view of prayer at times. We maybe think that, well, if I pray about something, it means that then I've got to do what God tells me to do about it, whereas really perhaps we would just like to make the decision ourselves and get on with whatever it is that we want to do. Or maybe it's just that you think praying is for weak people who can't deal with things on their own, who aren't strong enough to get on and do whatever it is that they're anxious about. I'll just share with you this quote, and I've got a couple of quotes from people who have talked about prayer. This book's a really good book by a guy called Paul Miller, called A Praying Life. And then we're going to be having a little section read from a book by a guy called Ronald Dunn called Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something, which I recommend as well. But just a thought from this guy to do with this attitude. If you're not praying, then you're quietly confident that time, money, and talent are all you need in life. What happens if one of these things goes? What happens at the end of life itself? Which of these things are going to appear that important? What about prayer? So, we might not feel the need right now, or we might not want God interfering in our situation. But if we... Well, is that the attitude that we should have? I'll just leave that open for you to think about. Guilt. I think a lot of us can perhaps associate with this. When we talk about the topic of prayer, we kind of think, well, actually, yeah, we know we should pray, and yet we don't do enough of it. And maybe when we read this, we'll think the same sort of thing. If we think we can do life on our own, we will not take prayer seriously. Our failure to pray will always feel like something, a lack of discipline, or too many obligations. But when something is important to us, we make room for it. Prayer is simply not important to many Christians because Jesus is already an add-on. So that probably doesn't really help if you're feeling guilty about prayer. It makes you feel a little bit more guilty. And I don't want that to be the case this morning. I just, for me, it was a case of I needed to be honest about what I felt about prayer. And I hope we can do that this morning. So really, how important is prayer to us? Maybe we feel inadequate to pray. Who am I that God should listen to me? I haven't given him a single thought. Why would he sort of bother listening to me if I've not thought about him? Maybe this is something we feel. Unworthy to come to God with requests of him. Maybe we feel convicted about sin, or about not viewing prayer as important, or relationship with God as important as we should. And maybe we just feel incapable of achieving what we might think of as a half-decent prayer life, or being able to relate to God in that way. I've asked Rosie if she'll read a little bit from the other book, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something, and have a think about it. Okay.
So this is just an illustration from Ronald Dunn in this book. When I was pastor of a young, fast-growing suburban church, I found that the best hour for my personal prayer time was around midnight. Everyone else was asleep, and neither the phone nor the doorbell was likely to ring. One particular day had been unusually hectic. It had been consumed by my busy work. I hadn't taken time to pray or read my Bible. I hadn't done anything spiritual. I had written some necessary letters, returned a number of phone calls, planned meetings, and worked on the church calendar, but nothing spiritual. At midnight, I came to my prayer time, feeling unworthy. The first words out of my mouth were, "Lord, I know I have no right to ask you for anything tonight." And I proceeded to apologise for being too busy to pray, read the Bible, or witness, too busy to do anything spiritual. I was praying like a wimp. Suddenly, it seemed as if the Lord said, Suppose you had done a lot of spiritual things today. Suppose you had prayed for 4 hours, read the Bible on your knees for 4 hours, and led 10 people to Christ. Would you feel more confident praying than you do now? Yes, I would. Then you're praying in your own name. You think I hear you because of your holiness. You think I am more inclined to listen to you if you had done a lot of good works. You're approaching me in your own unworthy name. If you had prayed for 8 hours today and read the Bible on your knees for 8 hours and led 50 people to Christ, you would have no more right to pray than you do now. I looked down at the floor of the throne room and I saw that it was sprinkled, not with the sweat of my good works, but with the blood of his sacrifice.
Thank you. This is just challenging, isn't it? Because I think we can often come to prayer with that sort of feeling, just sort of thinking, well, I wish I'd given more time to God this morning. I wish I'd spent more time reading my Bible. And so therefore, I don't really feel that I should pray and ask God for things or pray about things that I'm worried about, because what right do I have to do that? And so it's good that we had the communion today and just remember that actually the only reason we can come before God anyway is because that he made it possible through Jesus. That in the past they would have had, we came to God, or the Israelites came to God through the priests. And it was the priests that represented them to God. But now, because of what Jesus did, we can actually come to God ourselves and we can communicate with God wherever we are, whatever our situation, and we don't need to feel, who am I that God should listen to me? Well, exactly, who am I that God should listen to me? But he does, because of his grace. And so that's something that we can just rejoice in, and therefore we can approach God with confidence, as it says in Hebrews. Some of us might feel cynicism, kind of being a bit cynical about prayer. Well, doesn't God just do what he wants anyway? Does God answer prayer? Can he answer prayer? He's never answered mine. Is there a God? We might have all these sort of questions. And I know that these are some things that particularly, there have been times when I've really struggled in the area of wondering whether God answers prayer, or wondering actually sometimes, is there a God, and all that sort of thing. And yet, I think we can still approach God with confidence. And something that someone said about this sort of question was, does God change his mind? Does prayer change God's plan? Is God's will a desire or a decree? Is it just something he wants to do, or something he will do? I'm disinclined to chase after answers to these questions like that, lest we bog down in speculation and never actually get round to praying. Whatever our answers to any of these questions, they must leave God's sovereignty intact and leave us where we still have to trust him. God speaks to us in a language we understand, and God's word to us is he responds to prayer. So even if we can't answer all those questions, well, God says he works through prayer. God says he answers prayer. So actually, let's leave the sort of decision about whether God will choose to answer prayer to him, and actually just get on with what he wanted us to do, which is to communicate with him and pray. Cynicism protects you from disappointment, but paralyzes you from doing anything else. So let's not let these questions paralyze us. So we might be cynical. We also might have the attitude, prayer's too passive, I need to do something active. The sense that praying is a cop-out from doing sort of the real work, the real active work, the real sort of getting out and helping out in the community or whatever it is. And I guess we've got to go into praying with, well, we need to pray, but as we're praying, if God calls us to do something, we then need to be prepared to be obedient as well, don't we? In Colossians, it says this: Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. Sometimes we think of prayer as being really passive. In that little verse there, it said he's wrestling in prayer. That sounds fairly active to me. That sounds fairly involved to me. And I don't know if you remember the story in Daniel. Daniel was praying about a particular situation that was going on, and eventually the message from God came in the form of an angel, but that the angel said that he had been delayed 21 days from the time that Daniel had started praying. And so you sort of think, well, what had been going on in that time? There must have been some sort of battle taking place in the spiritual realm that we don't really understand. And maybe that's the case now. So prayer being passive? I don't think so. Prayer needs to be active. Prayer needs to be that sort of whole sense of wrestling with God, wrestling that God would answer, being persistent, expecting God to work through prayer, but also being prepared to act according to what he says as well. Then there might be practical problems. I haven't time, too many distractions. Have you seen my diary? Well, if we said that to our wife or our husband or our family, it kind of give away perhaps a little bit of what we feel towards them. If the only time that I spoke to Rosie was when we were driving somewhere, that wouldn't be much of a marriage, would it? And sort of our relationship with God, if our relationship with God is just squeezed into certain points where we can fit him in, what does that say about our relationship with God? How important is that to us? And like I said earlier on, I don't want us to feel guilty about prayer, because prayer is an amazing thing, and we're not going to have that much time to look at the purpose of prayer, because we've spent quite a long time looking at some of the reasons that might stop us. But actually, maybe it's the need to be honest about our own personal prayer life. Maybe that's the point that we need to start this morning, and we need to recognize what is it that hinders me from spending time with God. And then maybe when we get that sorted, we can actually start to develop that relationship. So, that might be our question. Where do we start? How should I pray? And we get so much in the Bible that talks about prayer, and I think it's impossible for us to really touch all those aspects this morning. But I want to pick out three things that prayer is, or three reasons why we should pray. Firstly, God invites us into a relationship. Quite an amazing thing to get our head around, really. Just God, awesome creator, huge, mighty, and yet he is a God who is relational. He is a God who wants relationship with people. And we see that all the way through the Bible, where there's relationship with Adam and Eve, with Abraham, with the people of Israel. All the way through, God was looking for relationship with people. And then through Jesus, that extended out to everyone who would trust him. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart." That sort of whole idea of drawing near to God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." The verses that says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." John 15, "If you abide in me." And there's all this idea of relationship, and prayer is a vital part of that relationship, spending time with God so that we can know him, so that we can receive from him too. And in the Bible, we get the idea of God being a good father, a father who's willing to and wanting to give good gifts to his children. And so maybe we could think about, well, our relationship with our father, our relationship with our parents. For some of us, that might not be that great, but those good aspects of what it means to relate to our parents, being confident that they want what's best for us, and that they're willing to give good gifts to us. I wonder if that's how we can approach God. So prayer is all about relationship, spending time with God on a personal level. Then in the Bible, we get so many places where God commands us to pray as well. We read those verses, devote yourselves to prayer. There's other places where it says, pray without ceasing. Pray also for me. And then in Philippians 4, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So we get all these instructions throughout the Bible to pray and the need to pray. And it's something that God expects us to do. Even if we can't get our head around completely all the questions that we might have about whether God will listen to us or whether God will answer us, the instruction is to pray. He wants our relationship. He commands us to pray. And the reason for that is because God works in response to prayer. Through prayer, we can get involved in his work on earth. John 14, verse 12 says this, truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And then 1 John 5, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. And then Matthew 6, Jesus talks about, give us this day. And then he talks in Matthew 7 about, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. But I go back to the question, how many of us actually believe that? How many of us believe that God works in response to prayer? And if we do believe that, how does that impact the way that we pray? How does that impact the decision to turn to God first rather than trying to sort it out all on our own, getting anxious about it? I think that's anxiety is something that I struggle with. I've talked about teaching before. I'm a teacher. And I find certain aspects of that pretty stressful. And so this verse here, do not be anxious about anything that we read a little bit earlier, but pray about everything. Kind of, that's tricky because I do get anxious about stuff. And even if I pray about it, well, there's still some sort of level of anxiety there. But I think when we pray, we actually can refocus on the situation. When we pray, we can recognize that God is involved, that God wants to be involved in that situation, that God is big enough to care for us in that situation. He's big enough to work. So even if that situation is causing us to be anxious, if we can commit it to God, he can work in that particular situation. And then the peace that comes from that is the peace that I can give it over to God. He can deal with that. And I can rest in that. I can have peace in that situation. So just quickly, how can we be confident that God will answer our prayer? In the Bible, it talks about pray in Jesus' name or pray according to his will. And this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so when we pray, how conscious are we of praying in line with God's will? Are our prayers more, this is what I want, God, this is what I want, can you do this for me? Or is it a case of actually seeking God, God, is this what you want for me? And will you do it? And that's a tricky one, because in Psalms, you read some of the Psalms of David, and all the time it seems like he is crying out to God for things that he wants, things that he desires, not necessarily maybe focusing on whether this is what God wants for me or not. He's just crying out his own personal heart, his own desire. And I think actually, when we pray, we should be praying our own personal desires as well. If we're feeling scared about something, we should pray that. If we're not sure about what to do, we should pray that. If we want some particular situation to work out, we should pray that, because that's what we desire. But then surrender ourselves to God's purpose and God's will, recognizing that if it's what God wants for our particular situation, he will do it. I think we can always get the wrong idea that if God doesn't answer my prayer yes, it means he hasn't answered it and he's not listening. But someone once said that God can answer prayer in three ways. He can say yes, he can say no, and often when he says no, we sort of think, oh, is God not listening? Or is God not doing it? Well, it might just be that he's choosing to say no in that particular situation. Or it might be that he's saying not now. And 2 years down the line, 10 years down the line, 20 years down the line, or even the next day, you look back and you see, well, actually, God did answer that prayer. It just took a little bit longer than I thought. Just one more thing about praying in Jesus' name. To pray in Jesus' name, then, is a prayer according to his will, with his approval, and consistent with his character and purpose. Therefore, it's as though Jesus himself were making the request. So how do we know God's will, God's purpose for our life? We need to spend time listening. And this is, again, something that we can struggle with so much. When we're praying, we have that time of prayer and we just say loads of stuff to God and then leave it at that. How much time do we actually give him to speak back to us, to speak into our situation? Is it just constantly us asking him for things, us saying things to him? Or is it us actually taking a step back and saying, God, what are you saying to me about this particular situation? Do we listen? So there's so much that we can talk about prayer. So many questions that we can have. But I hope this morning that in some way we can have got to the bottom of perhaps some of the reasons why we don't pray. I think I recognize for myself and for us as a couple, we need to be honest about our relationship with God as well, in terms of our desire to spend time with God, our love for him, and how that impacts our prayer life. But then we also need to recognize that why we should pray. The prayer is a huge part of our relationship with God. It's something he's commanded because it is a way that he works on this earth. It's a way that we can be involved in his plans. And I think the most important thing about prayer is that we should just do it. We can spend so long thinking about why we don't pray, thinking about why we should pray, asking the question, how should we pray? But in the end, it just comes down to, we should pray. We should just get on and do it. And I just want to finish with these four things that a guy called Brennan Manning has mentioned. He writes really reflectively about relationship with God. And he says this: the most important rule for prayer is that one learns to pray by praying. We are on a journey, not just thinking about the journey or reading or talking about it. One faltering but actual step is more valuable than any number of journeys performed in the imagination. How true. Pray as you can, don't pray as you can't. Don't take on a persona that isn't you. Be honest, open, recognize who God is, but be yourself. Don't just pray when you feel like it. Showing up and shutting up is a discipline. When there is no desire for God, there is no real reason to pray. If the intense desire to know God and see him work is not there, fall on your knees to the God you half believe in and beg for the gift of desire. And maybe that's the place that we need to start this morning. Maybe we need to be asking God, God, give me a desire to know you. Give me a desire to spend time with you. So much more we could say, but let's stop and let's pray. God, thank you that when we look at the topic of prayer, it's not trying to look at a problem and solve it. It's not trying to think about ways that we can just sort out a particular situation, a puzzle, and that we need to work out and fix. God, thank you. The prayer is actually just being in relationship with you. And yet, Father, we recognize that so often that relationship with you is not something that's at the forefront of our minds. It's not something that we have intense desire for. And so, Lord, I ask that this morning, for those of us who are not at that point where we desire to know you, where we want to be spending time with you. Lord, I ask that you'd give us that desire. Father, I also ask that if we're really struggling with just trying to get our head around the whole concept of you, whether you're actually there, or whether you answer prayer, whether you work on this earth, whether you choose to use us, Lord, I ask that you would show yourself to us. You say in the Bible to seek you, and that if we seek you with all our heart, we will find you. Lord, I ask that that will happen for some of us today. Father, when we feel inadequate, when we feel guilty, I pray that you'll take away those thoughts, because you've said that the confidence that we have in approaching you is not because of our own personal worth or because of what we do. We can approach you because of what Jesus has already done for us. And so we thank you for the confidence that gives us, that we, because of Jesus, can just stand here this morning or sit here this morning and start talking to you straight away. Father, I ask that in each of us, you will just work through us even more. Lord, that you will show yourself to us. But most of all, Lord, that we would love you more and more, and recognize and see and feel and know your love for us too. So I pray for all that we've thought about this morning, that you would work it into our lives as you choose. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's stand and sing together at the end.
John and Rosie, thank you, our musicians. Shall we just say to each other the blessing, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Teas and coffees will be served.